Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a regular featured guest in Bob Kudla of Trade Genius, and he comes on and talks about economic trends and expectations. And he's so right on the money that the audience continually asks to have him back. So it's your request. I heard from two people yesterday. When are you going to have Bob back on? Well, he's here. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And boy, big changes coming with Trump. And I want to get your input on how you think this is going to impact the economy and individual Americans.
Happy New Year. I'm glad to be
Happy New
here.
Year.
So what was really interesting, about a week before the election, the market started to move higher, which kind of gave us all confidence that the election was going to go Trump's direction. And then I think once people really understood the scale and the scope of his realignment, the markets took off and got a little bit ahead of itself. And actually last week, even up to yesterday, the markets basically sold back and filled the gap from the election pump. And now we're in a situation where we're going to probably get what's called the Trump bump here, between now and probably the end of January, maybe even into the first week of February. And then I think that could be the blow off top, Dave. I mean, so our view is this, that we personally think the top's in the markets. It happened last year, but we could be wrong. And depending on the scale of the derivative flows, because remember, this market is not what you see anymore. A lot of it's underneath the cover under option contracts. And so if too many people are positioned the wrong way, they have to buy the markets back really aggressively. And because liquidity is thin, what that means is that it doesn't take a lot of money coming into the markets to move it a lot. That we could actually see a blow off top that would make new highs.
What do
And
you mean by blow off top? Do you mean record rises?
yeah, record. Well, it's more like it's the record pace of the rises. It's the
Okay.
acceleration of the rise. It creates basically a parabolic move, a straight up move. If you look at like what happened with like Palantir, or like 2 weeks ago, look at the quantum computing stocks, or look last year, look at MicroStrategy. Those are what's known as parabolic moves. And those moves, what we call them Eiffel Tower, the Eiffel Tower back down. So as steep as they went up, they come down just as steep, and they retrace about 80% of the move higher.
Oh,
And then it flattens. And so we think what's going to happen here is that we're going to get a parabolic move that will get wiped out, and then you will be in a recession. Because what else had happened here is TLT, which is the long bond, started to move as well. So the market has been afraid of Trump. Two things. It's afraid of Trump's inflation, which is, to me, is a pig in a poke. And then it was also afraid of his tariffs that would create inflation. But neither one of those two will cause inflation, because it's all about the money supply. And Trump is all about restraining the federal government at this point. So we're going to go from inflation's bad to, hey, inflation is abating, which is good, to, oh my God, what happened to inflation? Deflation coming, which is bad. And I think that's how it's going to play out. So once we get this blow-off move here in the next 2 weeks, and that blow-off move may not make all-time highs, but be that as it may, once it abates, then we're going to probably go into a 2 to 3 month sell-off, because first quarter earnings are coming out right now too. And so things are going to get really cloudy. Companies are going to be, they're laying people off. They're going to have muted reactions to their 2025 numbers, and the market's not going to like it. And so my view is, if this is going up, you need to sell into this move. You need to get defensive. You need to get what you want to hedge it if you can't get out, and be ready for, I think, probably the highs will be in over at least for the next 2 years.
Yeah, very good. One of the things that occurred to me, Bob, when you were talking about the Eiffel Tower effect, goes up quickly and comes down quickly. That's really up your alley with Trade Genius, where you like to jump into things and get rid of them quickly before the loss can occur.
We trade, our algorithm looks for what's called the middle 60. So we don't like to be on the bleeding edge of a trade, because it could be a false breakout. But we look for what's called a confluence of our indicators and our algorithms to agree. And when they all agree, we jump on the trade. And then you just do, you just walk up your stops, as they call it, as the trade manifests, and you get out, you make your profit, and you look for another trade. Mm-hmm. And so there's almost always a bull market somewhere in the stock market. Either you're going from stocks to bonds, or you're going from stocks to inverses, or you load up into really conservative, you know, high dividend paying stock, you know, to ride out a rough patch in the market. But there's always an opportunity. So we don't care. If the trade doesn't look good, you don't take the trade.
Interesting. But I really like the approach, in and out quick. And you just gave us some of the elements of your algorithm, I suspect, about when to tell people when to buy and then when to sell.
Yeah. So, you know, our algorithm is it's really threefold, you know, because we actually upgraded, as you know, last year created I think our best indicator yet, because it combines everything. But, you know, we're looking for direction. You know, we're looking at the trend. You know, we're looking at the magnitude of the move, and we're looking at the speed of the move. And as those align in our algorithm, we have them weighted. And as those hit, we take the trade. And so it goes really well for us. And, you know, we got attaboys coming out of our rear end right now, because we just been having a great time. And in fact, one trade we've been doing, the stock has been going down for the last 6 weeks, but it's continuously providing a short-term counter trend trade. And it's our favorite trade ever, you know, that we trade, and you have to be a subscriber if you want it. But it's just been, it's been awesome. And in fact, since the first of the year, if you'd invested $1,000 in this trade, up until yesterday, it would have paid you about $6,000 in return, okay, which is about 22%. And today, because I woke up this morning to find out the market was skyrocketing, you would have been up another $2,000 on this trade. Cool. And so you'd be at 30-some percent gain on it, which is almost a 300% move if you annualize it. So, yeah. And this trade does this all the time, Dave. And when the market's going the direction of this stock, then the trade's even easier. So you can really make money on this and counter trend it. It's awesome. And you we show you how to trade it, and we actually post the trades as well. In fact, the trade was so big yesterday when we got back in it again after we closed out a profitable trade. By the time I woke up this morning, I couldn't change the target fast enough, and it took us out for profit. So it's just an awesome move. And we have a number of trades like that. And so we just give those to people. And if you would have took that move, even if you only bought 100 shares of that stock, it would already pay for 2 years of the service. So, and that's just one thing that we share with people. So I encourage people to check us out.
What's your win rate during this time of volatility? How are you doing?
Well, let me look here real quick. We keep a real time on it. Give me 1 second. Right now, we're at 66.26%, up from basically 63 and change. And so, we're at a 75% annualized rate. Not bad with the market going down. So,
well, when you're winning over half, well over half, I'd say with the market going down. Let's take a global view of where this is going. Trump is coming in. Let's take apart a couple of the elements you mentioned, like the tariffs. My layman's perspective, and then I want you to analyze and critique this, is that I think the tariffs are more leverage-based to get compliance and economic behavior and reciprocity than actual enforcement of tariffs. I think he's only got to do a few of them to make a point, and I don't think it's going to be a factor in the economy. How do you see it?
Oh, I think it's both. And, Canada's probably leverage. You know, Mexico is probably going to be sustainable because China has a backdoor into the U.S. that way. China's tariffs are going to be enforceable. But Japan and Korea maybe be leverage, you know, so mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting to see. You know, oil's been shooting up big time this week because he basically told the premier of Alberta that 25% tariff on all goods coming from Alberta, and that's primarily oil. So oil moved up on that. And the reason why you see the Chinese yuan collapsing is that they're trying to lower their currencies below where they think the Trump tariffs going to come in to try to keep a trade weighted, you know. But we don't care. I mean, we're going to pick up tariff money, and then China becomes less competitive because you know, if they lower their currency, that they're buying energy and they're buying materials that they're importing now at a 25% increase, and then they got to pay us 25% to get it into the U.S. So I think it's going to be mix of both. Look, Trump really, 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 he idolizes that period of time, you know, when Andrew Jackson blew up the second bank, but also after the Civil War and before World War One was really the golden age of the United States, and the federal government was run on tariffs. There was no income tax. And I think he, you know, he sees the evil of the income tax, you know, because it basically allows bad actors in politics and their supporters to steal from the American people, and steal they have. I mean, 97% of the greenback has been destroyed by these people over the last 115 years. And he's trying to, I think this is the first step of dismantling the Federal Reserve.
I totally agree with you on that. When I look at what he did yesterday, he announced on January 20th, he's setting up an external revenue service to collect tariffs, duties, and so forth that are owed to the U.S. government. But I also look at him setting that up to shift the IRS into this as well, too. And I'm thinking, will he use tariffs and other advantages he's going to provide American business that'll bring revenue into the national coffers? And is he going to do away with the national income tax or go to a flat tax? Is he preparing to do that? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, it's going to be impossible for him to not totally get rid of the income tax just because he has to make some legislative changes. You know, basically, he has to claw back the right of the mint to basically print new currency. You know, basically, you know, we took money printing and gave it to a private entity. I think he has to fight that back, or he may just create a constitutional crisis, say, I'm just going to print $1 trillion and I'm going to use it to pay down the debt, you know, because it's ridiculous if you think about it. If we're running a $2 trillion deficit, so we let the bankers create $2 trillion of new money supply, which they get a whinge off of, right? Because, you know, they capture the interest of what's on their balance sheet. It's free to them, and they get to lever it up eight times. You know, it's free money for the banks versus Trump saying, you know what? And we still get inflation from it. I'm just going to create $1 trillion in currency, and I'm going to turn right around and buy the highest cost debt we have outstanding and lower our deficit over time, because you're starting to wipe out the interest factor in our bond issues. And so I think we're going to see that coming, because there's no way it's not going to come unless the Federal Reserve agrees to basically go to a zero interest rate environment.
Ooh.
You know, so other than that, then I think Trump has a strong hand to force everybody into that environment, because they can't say it's inflationary, because it's been inflationary without doing it. This way you could say, look, China has $1 trillion of our money. You know, I'm just going to give them $1 trillion of our currency, and I'm going to buy back our debt from them. Here you go. Now you're stuck with dollars.
And China's not going to have much.
By the way, I'm not going to let you buy my real estate. I'm not going to let you buy any of my companies. You got to pay your tariff, and so you're stuck with buying our goods. And I think, and then look what they're doing with Russia, with the sanctions with Russia. You know, if Trump keeps those sanctions on, then China and India are going to be forced to buy, you know, American and Saudi oil, which bolsters that partnership and also gives us a market for our energy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I look at China, they're already in trouble economically, regardless of what Trump does, because they've had some really stupid policies going on. And in fact, the banks now are making it hard for people to even get their money out. That's how much trouble they're in. And I've covered that. So I think you're right on the money. China is not in a position to really bargain. They got to hope that Trump is somewhat lenient with them.
Hey, look, you know my position on China. I've been telling people for years that
I know.
China is a pretender to the crown, and even today you're looking at they're trying to inject liquidity into their banking system because it's failing. They crossed the Rubicon already, and since they're not a reserve currency, you're going to get a currency failure there. Here's the other thing you probably didn't know, but the richest family in China, okay, the grandfather was one of the vice premiers of the Communist Chinese Party, have left the country. They're now residents of Canada. They left. They shipped their goods out. How the heck did they even get out? I thought China didn't allow that to happen, but the whole family's gone. They're in Canada. And so, you know, two things are happening. The poor and the middle class are doing what's called the lie flat movement. They're just like, look, I can't fight against the Communist Party, but the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Exactly.
And you're going to jail people for indifference, right? And then the other part of it is called the one foot out the door policy. If you're wealthy, you already have money outside of China, okay? And then it's the trick of how much of your family can get out of the country, you know, before somebody goes to jail. And so, you know, you have a lot of these kids of these really rich people are already out. They're studying, and they'll never come back. And then the mother-in-law gets to go because she has to, you know, watch the kids, make sure nothing happens to them. And then, you know, then the wife takes a vacation, and then the husband takes a business trip and doesn't return. And they'll just abandon what they have in China, you know, because, you know, that's the price they have to pay to get out. And I think I would say probably 3/4 of the Chinese Communist Party knows the gig's up, and they're all basically rats ready to run down the rope. And so it'll be really interesting to see. Trump is going to put pedal to the metal on China.
Term for what you just described too. I just did a piece on this last week. It's called Ben Loin, and the young people are so disenchanted with the Chinese system. They're saying, we don't want this. We're not going to do all that we need to do in the past to get ahead. And so that term means let it rot. And that goes right back to your comment about indifference. And so the Chinese, it's not just lay flat. That's one part of it. The other part of it is to heck with the system. It reminds me of what the history books tell us about 1968. Tune in, turn on, drop out, you know, with the hippie
culture. Right.
Only this is crossing not people that are dropping out of society because they don't have talents or they're not gifted. They just don't want any part of it. And then, you know, the other part of it, though, too, I found is that in 2019, China started to disallowing all the tutoring services that help the middle class kids get ahead. And now they're falling farther behind. They're saying, to hell with you. And all that's adding up to what you're saying right here. It's really interesting. But here's my concern, though, Bob. I know that China can't project military power globally. I get that. But the thing I worry about is they might project it regionally like Japan did before World War II to make up for some of these resource deficits. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't know. I think look, Japan and China are two different animals. The Japanese are severe, you know, are extremely disciplined and very focused. And, you know, they knew what they wanted to accomplish in Manchuria because they needed those resources. Mm-hmm. Right. So China, the only place China can get resources, if that's their aim, is to go into Siberia, you know, and then they're dealing with another nuclear nation. But exactly. If they're trying to like create a distraction and take over Taiwan, I think it'll backfire on them immensely, because even you and I talked about this 2 years ago, and now people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Taiwan probably has 500 missiles aimed at the Three Gorges Dam. Okay. Yeah. Now they're openly telling China, you know, if we're attacked, one of our first strategic targets is the Three Gorges Dam. And so they're basically saying to you is, I hope you can stop all the missiles coming that way. You know, and the thing about it is that you don't have to destroy the dam per se. You just have to weaken it in such a manner, you know, that it'll destroy itself over time. And you know what? It's already destroying itself. So, you know, and we talked about that before. If that dam goes, you know, like in a surprise move, like China does a surprise attack and Taiwan unleashes their you're looking at 40 million dead.
Yes.
You're looking at 400 million people displaced. You're looking at their electronics and their pharmaceutical industries gone. You know, when that river dumps out, it dumps out by Shanghai, I believe, you know. And so, you know, you're talking about wiping out basically the industrial center of China in one blow. And so I think it's a lot of bluster on China's part. And even if they don't do that and they try to invade Taiwan, have you seen Taiwan? It's a freaking fortress. Okay, I mean, you know, the coastal plains go under mountains. China would be fighting a 50-year guerrilla operation. Okay, you know, with a very, very, very angry Japan providing whatever Taiwan needs as support. And the other thing you don't realize is Japan is dropping its pacifist mandate, and they're buying up missiles left and right. They're building new ships. they're now on a course to go to their fifth generation fighter made homemade. And I wouldn't be surprised at some point if China keeps rattling the saber, Japan just announces, oh, by the way, we have nukes too. You know, cause, you know, if you can trust anything, you can trust Japanese engineering, right? They probably don't even have to even test it to know it'll work.
I think you're right on the money with that. And I would also add in the Philippines and Vietnam are beginning to stand up to China too. So I think there could be an alliance there. South Korea's got their hands full of North Korea, but they're not enamored with China either. So you're right. I mean, there's
North Korea has just realized they just sent their best troops to Russia to take on the Ukrainians. And they're using 1950s battle strategies against a 21st century innovative enemy, you know, that's just cleaning their clock.
Exactly.
And
right.
So I can imagine Kim Jong-un sitting there saying, you know, WTF. I know if he's not, the generals are saying, look, if you think Ukraine's good, the South Koreans are even more determined as well. And they have better technology and they have a explicit mandate from the United States to defend them. I mean, Pyongyang would be gone. They wouldn't even see the fighters and bombers coming before they'd level that city to the ground. Yep, you know, they can't even see it. Look, RF-35s flew over Japan and the Japanese radars couldn't find it. Okay. So you think North Korea, you know, you're talking that air base is what, 100 miles, 120 miles from Pyongyang? You know, they could be there in 7 minutes.
I know. It's a mistake.
3 minutes if they drop their hypersonic bombs ahead of time. So, I just think what's happening now is really, it was supposed to be the multipolar world with the United States getting subsumed, you know, and I think now with Trump, it's actually going to go back to a unipolar world with a lot of these multipolar countries actually facing, you know, potential of their own systemic, you know, annihilation. I'm not saying the country they're going to go away, but, you know, whoever runs Russia, whoever runs China, whoever runs Iran, I think you're going to see changes all three. And then I think you'll see other dominoes fall from that. So it's going to be really interesting times. Now, could bad things happen? Sure. I don't know if alerts are going off.
Bob, I'm losing you now. You've gone silent.
They're flying. Okay. I don't know if a dirty bomb is sitting in New York or New Jersey, you know, with the drones. Trump said he's going to announce that next week. So bad things can still happen.
Bob, I want to interject something there because this is an important point. I was sent something, and James O'Keefe also had the same information. And I've backtracked it with a couple of sources I have. Here's the bottom line. HHS had a memo prepared that got leaked. I got the leak. It was taken from my computer, and I'm not making this up. It was there. It was gone. It's not in my trash. James O'Keefe reported it. Now he's gone silent on it. And then there are a couple of other people in the same boat. Here's what the memo did. It was HHS, and what they were saying was, we're preparing for a continuity of government on January 20th. Now, DHS should be in charge of all things inauguration, Secret Service, on-the-ground protection, FBI, that kind of thing. But DHS should be the umbrella. And the fact that you've got a declaration of continuity of government means they're expecting senior government officials to not survive, and they're looking at the order of secession. And why would HHS be doing it? Mass casualty event. So I think something definitely is planned, and you hit on something there with what you just said. And the fact that they're pulling memos off computers and they're silencing people like James O'Keefe, however they did it, tells me there could be something big. And then I got told by people connected to Trump, loosely, they said part of what they're doing with the rally on the 19th of January, the day before the inauguration, is to test the security and to see, you know, what kind of challenges they're going to face. I don't know if you've run into this or not, but you opened up a hornet's nest with that comment.
Well, I mean, Trump moved down to Mar-a-Lago and left Bedminster because of the drones flying over his golf course. So,
exactly.
So you know, but he has something to say on that. It'll be interesting to see. Look, I'm definitely worried about it. Well, you know, the continuity of government's easy. You're going to. J.D. Vance won't be at the inauguration. So
That's why right there, Bob.
You know, yeah. Well, they normally aren't anyway. But yeah, so he'll be gone and you know, some other key people won't be there as well. So look, you know, we just have to hope and pray. But, you know, as we can see, you know, if you got dumbasses that could take a shot at the president, can you imagine more sophisticated enemies, what they could do?
Sure.
So, but I don't, you know, I think the only country that would really try to take a shot would be Iran at this point. You know, I don't think China and Russia would do that. China has their own strategy for dismantling the United States, and we've been seeing it, right? You know, the fentanyl and things of that nature. They're using soft erosion. I think the Russians are probably hopeful with Trump, you know, but Iran, look at all the people they're catching coming up underneath the border here. I think they said there's 100 Al-Qaeda / ISIS / Hamas Hezbollah people that they know are in the country as sleeper agents. So what we saw in New Orleans was probably just a taste. So we'll see, you know, right. I'm hopeful, but I'm expecting something like that, you know, as we go forward, because we are going through an end of an age, and those are the kind of things that happen in those environments. So instead of big cities. Yeah.
You're good.
Look, I think the Palisades is a mass casualty event too. I think that was, that was planned. A lot of arson there, you know, and if it wasn't planned, it was planned through benign neglect, right? You know, by saying this will happen because we're not going to do certain things. So,
well, yeah. How do you not
remember Japan? Not have water? Japan did it in World War II. You know, Japan launched 11,000 hydrogen balloons to try to burn down the west of the United States. So it's not like it's a new concept.
You know, how do you not have reservoirs filled because you're not anticipating a toaster oven fire that starts a house fire that spreads, or a lightning strike, or whatever it would be? Okay, how do you not have resources on hand to fight a fire? They had nothing. And we saw the same damn thing in Lahaina, by the way. The same exact thing happened. And the central agent, the asset manager for the people and their companies responsible, BlackRock. And I'm not ashamed to say it because I can prove it. But anyway, long story short with this, we are in a time of volatility, but I want to take this back to what you do at Trade Genius, because you thrive on volatility. All the time we've worked together, there's bad times, and all of a sudden, you guys come out winning 2 out of 3 trades, and it never seems to fail. So tell me going forward, what are you anticipating to do with Trade Genius, and why should people want to pay attention to what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, if the market does the macro that we're expecting, is that we're going to ride the Bitcoin / general market into this high into the end of January, and then we're going to actually be shorting those Bitcoin proxy names. You're talking about BITI, you buy FIAT, you buy SARK, you buy NVDS, you know, and you ride that tech Bitcoin wave back down. And then sometime in April, we look again to see if there's going to be a bump into June, and then a bigger sell-off into the fall next year. And so, and if my macro, my crystal ball's totally wrong, my algorithm always confirms what I'm anticipating, and if it doesn't confirm that, then we just stay with the trades that are working. It's really simple that way. I get the luxury of spouting off, but then I have my backup is my technical indicators that tell me whether or not I'm seeing things correctly, and I just trade what I see on the chart. So I just give people a heads up. I think, you know, humility aside, I think I have a really good feel for these things, and you and I have been doing these together for years, and I'm much more right than I am wrong.
Oh, yeah, right. 2 out of 3. I'm going to give you the 2 out of 3 label, Bob, because I've seen it all. And I don't care what the circumstances are, good times, but you thrive particularly in bad times. And, you know, I know you can't tell us because your algorithm has to be proprietary for obvious reasons, but there's something in your algorithm that separates you from everybody else, because not everybody else is having the same win rate you are during bad times. And I think the algorithm.
Yeah, here. Well, I'll give you the secret. You know, the big money can't move without you seeing it. So everybody thinks the market's so secretive, but it's not. So you just follow the big money, and that's all we do. And so we put some spit and polish and wax on it, you know, to kind of optimize it. But that's it in a nutshell. The fact that other people aren't doing it is absolutely surprising to me. And so it's been working. I've had this win rate for decades.
Yeah.
And we just do really well. I mean, today, you know, I've already in one day, I've already done 6 weeks worth of my budget for my personal trading, you know? So, you know, when the markets aren't moving, you take your singles and doubles, and then you wake up in the morning like today and you realize you'd hit a grand slam home run because you were anticipating, you know, through your algorithms, you're anticipating a market turn this week, and it hit. And so you come in with a little leverage, and I've already sold half of what I've already won against. So I've already took chips off the table in case it decides to do a reversal. And that's the key, then good money management. So come check us out, tradelikeagenius.com. We have great specials running to Saturday. We go to Dave's landing page. And
DaveLovesTrading.com.
DaveLovesTrading.com, and you get the best rates there. But if you come to my site, let people know you came through Dave's interview with me so that I can apply the discount for you and give Dave credit, because I sponsored Dave through our interactions with you as a customer, and we all three can win.
Yeah, I really appreciate that too. But I would say to the public, I've talked about gold, silver, other things, and we look at trends. What my goal is to have America be as financially intact and prosperous as possible. And that starts at the grassroots level. And people are saying, okay, I don't know much about the stock market, and let me alleviate one of those concerns. Okay, you have a training program that's simple to the point, and then you have advisory aspects to your program as people progress into the trading. And all you really got to do is just learn the system, follow directions, and you're going to make money. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, and I want to be legally clear here.
I hear you. I know what's coming.
Advisory of how the system works, not advisory of what stocks you should and shouldn't own.
Exactly.
That is the job of a licensed, financial advisor. I'm in the business of providing information
exactly
on the actual mechanics of the stock technical, analysis aspects of it. So I want to be really clear. We don't take your money. We don't manage your money. I don't know your risk tolerances. I don't know how much money you have. I don't know how much you're putting into a trade. I just want you to know that I'm giving you tools, to effectively trade the stock market.
Exactly. But there's a reason why you're outperforming the people that are financial planners. And I'll just leave it at that, because I know with federal requirements, you can't guarantee results. But the track record people I'm talking about, winning 2 out of 3 trades, the rate of return, which is phenomenal, this has been consistent for years. Bob and I have been doing this for years together, and the data doesn't change very much. There's a little ebb and flow, but it doesn't change. And consistency, from my perspective, Bob, is your hallmark, and that's why I can recommend to my audience that you find out more. You just got to go to DaveLovesTrading.com, and the rest can be history. And we've covered this before, but very quickly, a lot of people turn this into good second incomes, and some people work hard enough and long enough, they turn it into first incomes.
Yeah, and when you go into trading, you got to ask yourself why you're doing it. You're doing it to supplement your income. You're doing it to bolster your portfolio. Are you doing it for the next 20 years? Are you doing it so you can eat lunch tomorrow? All that affects what you do, how you do it, what you trade. And there's different aspects of what we offer that you can approach any of those scenarios. So some people can't day trade to save their life, but you can long-term trade. Some people hate long-term trading and they want to be on the market every day. You can still use our tools. It's time frame independent. So you can trade this on a 1-minute chart. You can trade it on a weekly chart, and it works because human nature works. And, exactly. And basically, the stock market is basically an accumulation of human nature, based on the algorithms that are built by the big money, because they feed off people's sentiments and human emotions. So everybody thinks cash flow is the king on this stuff. No. Long-term might be short-term, nothing to do with it. You sit there and you scratch your head. Why is my stock going down while oil is up $20? Well, because it had nothing to do with the price of oil. It had everything to do with how people are positioned and so on and so forth. And so we don't care about any of that stuff. We just watch the market. We watched our algorithms and we teach you how to do that, and you'll be just fine. If you never watch the news again, other than to watch Dave's show for entertainment purposes only, you would do just fine. I don't watch any of the news. Okay. I mean, I'm on podcasts and stuff like that, but I don't sit there and sit on X all day and find out what they're saying or on Fox News. I can care less. That's all designed to steal your money. All I care about is what's my chart telling me to do.
That's about as good a comment as I've ever heard. All designed to steal your money. That should be the underlying moniker for the mainstream media. But anyway, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on. And people, if you want to know more, you're saying, I want to be part of this because I need another revenue outlet. Go to DaveLovesTrading.com. Bob, really interesting, insightful stuff, particularly about China. Really enjoyed the interview. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
President Trump is about ready to make national and international news. There's breaking stories, plural, that are happening. And it's something that you have not heard of, but you will not be surprised it's coming based on what's recently happened. There are things that I can tell you, and then there's things that I'm not yet permitted to talk about that will become public shortly. And I hope that you understand that when people give me information and they say, okay, here's the supporting part of what we're telling you, this is what you can say, this is what you can't say. And I will tell you, I'm piecing this together now from multiple sources. And now it's out of the mainstream media. I don't know how it's going to stay out much longer. This is absolutely dramatic. It's stunning. And I'm really, honestly, quite shocked. And you're going to be too. And you're either going to look at me as a raving lunatic or someone who's breaking a big story. Paul Preston has already broken part of this on a special broadcast he did this evening. And he called me immediately after the show. And I said, get in line, Paul. You're the third person to tell me something similar to what you are saying right now. And this is absolutely incredible. Anyway, we are brought to you by what we call three harmful foods. And you go, wow, that's interesting. And it truly is interesting. And what we are looking at here is there are three foods out there that stay on the health food pyramid, and it's thoroughly disgusting. It's absolutely amazing that we're having this problem because there's never been a time in history where there's been more medical breakthroughs. So then why are millions of Americans so darn unhealthy and overweight, more so than they've ever been? Well, U.S. board certified physician and expert nutritionist Dr. Amy Lee, she says one of the main reasons is the three harmful foods that are being passed off as health foods all over the country. Now, wait till you hear this. A lot of the foreign countries who are allies have banned these foods, and they cause things like digestive problems. They deplete energy, they wreck the skin, and like I said, they're banned. And Dr. Lee said, I'm going to shine light on this. I'm going to tell the truth. We're going to expose this. And what she is now doing is she has made a video that has gone viral. And she said, listen, if we could just get people to stop eating these things and replace it with healthier choices, we would start to see easy weight loss, smooth digestion, vibrant energy, your skin would clear up. And she says, just listen to me. Go to 3harmfulfoods.com/Dave. That's the number 3harmfulfoods.com/Dave. Now, if you're watching on social media, then all you got to do is click the link in the description box. Find out all you need to know about how to regain control over your body. 3harmfulfoods.com/Dave. Okay, I didn't script this. And a lot of times I don't on stories. And maybe I should have because I'm going to be kind of all over the map here. There's a couple of things that I know. Number one, I think this is really important. Donald Trump has declared all of the cartels to be enemies of the state and also terrorist groups. This allows the NDAA to be brought in and to declare them enemy combatants, which means no due process. And you can basically take any means necessary to subdue your enemy. Now, I've never liked this because I thought it could be turned on legitimate American citizens who were simply. All they're doing is simply protesting or stating a valid political view. But in this instance, I'm pretty sure it's going to be true. All right, here's what we know. We know, and I've had this reported now, airline pilot Paul Preston, another source, there are TFRs either in effect now or will be by morning, temporary flight restrictions. That's for now. There's a second group of what they call NOTAMs, NOTAMs, temporary flight restrictions for the 24th of March. That's when President Trump is going to California, and they call it a VIP precaution. So nothing can fly in or around Air Force One. This is a different TFR. And this makes sense because if you're moving military assets through California to the Mexico border, you have to cover this with overflights and you want no one in the way. That's the reason for the other TFR that we're soon going to be finding out about. I reported a few weeks ago that two Border Patrol sources, who just happened to be together on the same night, even though they're generally not in the same sector, but I've been talking to them since 2014. And one of them called me and was extremely distraught. And you remember the story. On the other side of the border, there were mechanized vehicles with lights on in maneuvers, and you'd hear periodic 50 caliber machine gun fire. They thought they were about ready to get overrun. This was in the Yuma sector. They called the Naval Air Station at Yuma. They wouldn't take their call. They called DHS. They wouldn't take their call. They reached out to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base south of Tucson. They wouldn't take their call. So it was like, here we are, we're undermanned. We got our M16s, a couple 50 cal, and that's about it. And 16 officers. They thought they were going to be overrun and possibly killed. What ended up happening, as they found out, is this was a classified operation with our people doing a drill on the other side of the border. And it was the White Hat military in support of Trump pre-inauguration that was sending a message to the cartel. That's what it turned out to be. And those Border Patrol people still are rightfully pissed off. This was the first indicator that something was going to happen. The second indicator, as I've already mentioned, was President Trump declaring the cartels to be enemies of the state and terrorist organizations. The scope of the mission is really interesting to me. I have one report that says M1 Abrams will be on the streets in Mexico City. If you doubt that, I'm right there with you. I have trouble seeing that picture in my mind. What I think is more likely is cartel centers have been singled out and they're going to be isolated and taken care of. And I'm sure that's going to happen. I don't know. If they're going to Mexico City, they're taking action against the Mexican government. Now, I've told you before, Claudia Sheinbaum, the newly elected president of Mexico, she's in the hip pocket of the cartel we call the CJNG, the New Jalisco Group. And the rumor is she's being paid $150 million a year, surpassing what El Chapo paid Nieto when he was the president. Oh, by the way, Nieto and Nancy Pelosi are very chummy friends. Surprise, surprise. There's military action, is what I'm telling you, being prepared into Mexico to eradicate the cartels. Will it go to the level of corrupt government officials? I don't know. But there are indicators to say that is a possibility. This is a developing story, so the facts are not as solid as we'd like, but we think we have the general direction and trend curve correct. But the details, well, we'll have to see as this unfolds. The reason I decided to broadcast this now is I did wake up some relatives just a few minutes ago before I came on air, and I said, make sure you have gas, make sure you have your food, because if this goes south and this blows up into a major conflict and we have a Tet Offensive of terrorist attacks on American soil, the first thing you won't be able to get is gas. The second thing you won't be able to get is food and water. So make sure you're stocked up. This is a public service announcement. And even if I'm totally wrong, and I'm telling you, I'm not wrong, this isn't just from Paul Preston. This is from other sources I can't mention. And I've reached out to other people, and I'll have more answers by morning. But even if I'm wrong, the worst thing that happens is you eat your mistake with the food that you're going to secure in the morning. And your cars need to be kept filled. And I recommend not going below half tank. And I'm following my own advice very early in the morning. So what I'm telling you is that major events are happening. And I think Governor Newsom's days, I think they are numbered. I think he's in big trouble. And there's a reason why Trump is going to California on the 24th. And there are flight restrictions right now that are military oriented. I don't think this is just a check on the wildfires. And by the way, I asked Paul tonight, we were having a discussion, another huge fire. And I said, Paul, why do you think they're trying to burn down California? And he said, scorched earth. And I said, do you mean if I can't have it, no one can have it? And he said, that's one of the motives. And I happen to agree with him. I've also got a message in to Doug Thornton, former DHS supervisor. You know he has contacts, and we'll get some answers from that avenue. But right now, Trump is taking no prisoners. And let me back away, and I'll tell you something I was told by a former intel person before the inauguration. He thought that Trump would move on California, the cartel, the Darien Gap, the Panama Canal, and Greenland all at once. Now, the only reason that that could happen is if Trump and Putin already formed an agreement. And I told you that 4 weeks ago, now five, Trump's people met with Putin's people in an undisclosed location, and I don't know where it was at. But what I do know is that permission was given to invade Venezuela to take out Maduro. This could be part of the same action. And I'm confident in what I'm reporting here. And the Darien Gap is being abandoned as we speak. So, should it be surprising if Paul and I and a couple of other people have this information on the eve of what could be something big? Would you be surprised that that would happen too? That Colombia would close its borders, which they have, and they're not permitting anyone from the Darien Gap in for national security reasons. Some people think that basically most of Latin America is going to fall under American protective influence. We'll have to see. Those are bold moves. Now, when I step back and I put on my common sense show hat, I don't think that's going to happen. When I shared this with my own wife, she goes, "No way." And then I started talking about who's telling me what. And she said, "Oh my God." She goes, "Well, the cars are filled with gas and we have plenty of food and we have plenty of guns and ammo. And we have some alliances in the area." Wow, what an interesting time we live in. I thought Trump was making bad moves by canceling DEI, no flags but the US flag, on and on and on and on. Pretty interesting. We'll have to see where this goes. We'll be back with more probably in the morning. I don't see how this stays out of the knowledge base. Paul's going on air at 6 a.m. Pacific to discuss more details that he's working on as we speak. So I'll have to be a member of the audience to keep up because I'm not talking to the same people he is. And let's put it this way, these people, and I know this for a fact, are very well connected. So I recommend that you listen to Agenda 21 Radio, simply search engine it and go listen to it starting at 6 a.m. because he's going to have more details. And by the way, New California is getting this close to becoming the 51st state. Check out our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com, upper right-hand corner. Put your email in and you'll get a summary of everything we've done in the last 24 hours. People love it. They absolutely love it. You will too. Saves time. Thecommonsenseshow.com, upper right-hand corner, newsletter. Put your email in. Look forward to you joining us. Over 50,000 people have. Fauci still faces prison. And it's the best news I could deliver in this domain. We're going to explain it all right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by a tremendous product. This product saved my life. The Nanosomid liquid spray. The normal dose is, you can use as much as you want because it's all natural, but once a day, five sprays. And what it does, it tremendously boosts your immune system. But I was in crisis with strep lung linings from RSV, plus I had pneumonia on top of it. And the doctors gave me a really negative prognosis, and I recovered. I recovered for a lot of reasons. The help of the Lord Almighty, my stubborn determination, my son going to the gym with me almost every day. But number one on the list was this product that boosted my immune system. This doesn't cure anything. But when you go and look at the page that I'm showing, you will see. If you go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, You will see how this product works. Do you need a boost? Do you want to prevent? Do you want to reverse? This is what I did. And I won't rest until everyone is doing this because I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, this works. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Anthony Fauci is in big trouble. And I'm just going to give a brief summary here because I think there's more to come. Thanks to Rand Paul, who's a chip off the old block with one of the greatest congressmen to ever live, Ron Paul. And Rand Paul says he's not done with Fauci. The pardon, the preemptive pardon given by Biden, has created numerous problems for Anthony Fauci. Now that he's been pardoned, he can be called before the Senate and subpoenaed. He doesn't show up, he's going to prison. He shows up, he can't take the Fifth Amendment because he's been pardoned. Now, I don't even know if the pardon's legal, because one of the legal opinions I have read over and over is that you can't pardon someone for unspecified offenses. There has to be a conviction. I think this is probably going to go to the Supreme Court. But let's focus on Anthony Fauci. He lied about the origin of COVID. Rand Paul exposed that in Senate hearings. He lied about masks, and then he reversed himself, and then he reversed himself again. He lied about whether or not the country should be shut down. Oh, no, it shouldn't. It should. It shouldn't. It should. He's in big trouble. He's in big trouble because I don't think the Supreme Court is going to give him a blanket pardon for all offenses. And here's the good news. And John Moore and I were talking about this on his show yesterday when John said 18 attorney generals in the various states have open license to go after him. And I hope all 18 do. And he murdered by promoting a vaccine that was untested and deadly to at least 20 million people. He needs to spend the rest of his life in prison. And Rand Paul says, I'm leading the way. I couldn't think of anybody better than to bring the present day Dr. Mengele of the Nazi death camp medical experiments, he's the modern day version of this. Can think of anybody better to go after him than Rand Paul. I won't rest until I see these kinds of people in prison. People, I don't think a lot of you, I think you know how bad things were, but I don't think you know how evil things were because you weren't hearing it in the mainstream media. These people are no better than the Bolshevik communists of Stalinist Russia or the Nazis under Hitler. And this isn't hyperbole. This isn't personal insult territory. What I am telling you is these people were pure abject evil, and they exposed American citizens to the evil of these past two regimes and throw in Mao Zedong with their Cultural Revolution and cutting kids' genitals off and advocating for it as early as 6 years of age. If that doesn't boil your blood, I don't know what would. The golden age of America that Donald Trump talks about is indeed our prosperity. But it's also justice to serve as a warning to future despots. You do this to our citizens, we one day will come after you and we will invoke justice. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. I want you to check us out on our TV show where we have a new series called Hips, Hiding in Plain Sight, Hidden History, Repressed Technology. Mysteries of the mind. I mean, we're all over the map with really interesting stuff. And then, of course, we have our geopolitics and we have our really good interviews all at thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today.